The Word of God is such a beautiful thing. It's such a powerful thing. And every opportunity that we get to come together as the family of God and open the Word of God should be something that we hold special and dear and sacred, because the Bible says that the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We just got through celebrating, for Pastor Randolph, the Christmas season is never over. But for everybody else, we just got through celebrating the Christmas season. And during this time, I had the ability or the opportunity to just reflect on what the Christmas story really means. And it's just such a beautiful thing to think about this God that loves us so much that he sent his son. And so I want to talk to us this morning about what I have labeled the passionate pursuit of God. And I've subtitled it, All In. All In. You know, when we think about creation and we think about all that God has done, everything that he created, everything that he designed from the beginning of time, we see that God designed and orchestrated all things so that you and I could hear a story of him. Everything that we see, everything that we can experience of God's creation speaks directly to who he is. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. The psalmist pens it so beautifully. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God had pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and make its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth." Have you ever gotten outside the city limits? Have you ever gone out into the countryside and just looked up at the stars? This Christmas season, we got to go to a little town that people probably, it was funny because I was talking to Pete, and he said, where is that? Mason, Texas. I said, well, it's 45 minutes north of Fredericksburg. He said, I've driven that way all of my life, and I've never seen it. I said, well, that's probably true. It's about 2,000 people. It's a blip on the map, and you probably don't even know that you've gone through it. But getting outside of the city limits and getting out in the country, we had a time where we built a bonfire outside because it's 70 degrees outside, you know, on Christmas. And it was a perfect, I think it got down to 50-something that night. It was beautiful, though. And we had this campfire going, and we all gathered around, and we just looked at God's beautiful creation, the stars. We heard the animals in the distance and in the not-so-far distance. And just got to enjoy one another, sing Christmas carols, and just had a wonderful time experiencing God's creation. It is such a beautiful thing whenever you and I can get out and we can just begin to listen, because God is speaking. God is speaking. Creation is speaking. And if we stop every now and then, the hustle and bustle of life, it just consumes us. It just takes us by storm. And we find that life is choking out God. Not life, not the true essence of life, but our busyness that we call our life chokes out God's voice so many times, when God all around us is crying out this beautiful story. You know, when God created heaven and earth and he created the universe, It was with a specific purpose, a specific plan. He had a design that he had in his mind of what he wanted to communicate to the world. And he wanted to paint this beautiful canvas, this beautiful picture, to describe to you and I were his creation, his prized creation that he created, and he created everything else around us so that we could experience this and we could hear this beautiful story, this passionate pursuit that he had. And then he created mankind. He created you and I. And when he created us with a free will. And I can just imagine as the angels were there and they were watching as God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. And he said, I'm giving man a free will. And you can imagine the angels and all of the heavenly beings, they're going, why? Why would you give them the opportunity not to love you? Why would you give them that choice? And God saying, that's precisely the point. I want them to love me because they want to love me. I want them to love me because I want them to be like me. I created mankind in my image. We've been created in the image of God. The story of humanity is a love story. It really is. It is God's love story. It is the living God declaring in every way imaginable to his creation, to you and I love you. I love you. I love you. It's a passionate pursuit of mankind. God pursuing us. He left nothing to chance. He put it all on the line. When we think about what he has done, there is not one thing that is in this universe, that is in creation, that was not thought through and put together in the most precise of detail. Think about the colors. Think about the beautiful creation that we have, where Jesus himself said, have you seen the lilies of the field, how God clothes them? He says, not even Solomon in all of his glory was like one of these. He says, consider the sparrows of the air. Not one of them falls to the ground that your Father in heaven does not know. He has orchestrated and designed all of creation, but it's for one purpose, and that is to speak to you and I of his love. What an amazing, amazing story. If we look at John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we read this all the time, but it says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world through him might be saved. You know, when I read this scripture, I can't help but think back to that moment when God is forming man. You know that at that very moment, God knew what had to be done to redeem us. I can see the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together as they're forming man in their image and in their likeness. And I can see the Father looking up at his Son. And I can see the Son saying, it's okay, Dad, I will. And I can see the tears rolling off of the face of God who would become Jesus in the flesh, saying, for them, I will. For them, I will. Because the plan didn't come with addendums. The plan did not come with addendums. God didn't say, oops, well, I guess we got to figure up another way. From the beginning of time, God orchestrated and designed man to have a free will, knowing that we would reject him, just so that he could come and prove to us how much he loves us. Amen. Think about that for a moment. That baby that came into our world through the most miraculous of circumstances, that baby that split open heaven and earth and came down, and the angels began to proclaim, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That same child was the one that was sent from the foundations of the world. From the moment that you and I were formed, a thought became a thought in the mind of God. He said, I will go. Because I want to pursue. I am passionately pursuing my children. You and I are God's children. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. 6 through 8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were not pursuing God. God was pursuing us. God desired to have us as his own. God desired for us to understand that there is no end to his love, that there is no depth to his love, that we can go to the farthest places of the earth, to the deepest parts of the ocean, to the highest parts of the heaven, and we cannot outrun the love of God. We cannot ever go to a place where his love stops pursuing us. This morning, there may be someone that is here that is running, that has been running, that has heard about God, known about God, but just at this moment in your life, you cannot come to grips with this idea of God's love, and you are running. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God will not stop pursuing you. You just need to give in. You just need to give in to his love, because it's hopeless. You cannot outrun God. God will find you where you are. God will find you where you are. And it doesn't matter what you have done. His love will cover your sin. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The question then becomes, why? Why would the one true living God, the creator of all that exists, pursue you and me with such passion? Why does anyone choose to love another? We love because we choose to love. But in God's case, he is love. And therefore, he loves. God is love. And therefore, he loves. The more we begin to understand the love of God, the more we begin to understand God, because he is love. The moment that we begin to embrace and accept the love of God is the moment we embrace and accept God himself. God cannot choose not to love, because he is love. I just want you to soak that in for a moment. God is pursuing us with this love. And we just got through seeing the story of how Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and Simeon and all of these people that heard and were a part of this beautiful story of God coming to earth to redeem mankind. But the story didn't end there. That was just the beginning of the second trilogy, as we spoke of, where God is saying, I am coming for you because I love you. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39 says this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves us. He is pursuing us. He gave everything. I believe that God did all of this in an endeavor to reveal to us himself. Why? Because we were created in his image, and his desire is that we are an accurate reflection of who he is. His desire is that we are an accurate reflection of who he is. Who is created in your image? Your children. We are God's children. And his desire is that we are extensions of him throughout the earth. We are God's children. When I began to think about this pursuit that God has, he left nothing on the table. He gave it all. Every drop of blood that he had in his veins, he poured out. And every drop was crying, I love you. I love you. Everything in creation, I want you to understand this for a moment. Because there is nothing that exists that wasn't created and designed for one sole purpose, and that was to scream with everything that it is, God loves you. God loves me. He gave it all. He is all in. Do you understand this? He is all in on this passionate pursuit of you and I. He is all in. And his desire is that we become extensions of him throughout this earth. I want you to look at Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." God's desire is that we love him with all that we are, and that we love one another. God's desire is that we love him with all that we are and that we love one another. I took a moment to look up the meaning of these words in Greek just to make sure that we weren't missing anything in translation. And so I want to tell you what the translation is. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's in reference to our feelings, our sentiments, our emotions. That's the very first thing that's mentioned in the scripture. And yet so many times in churches, we find ourselves afraid to express an emotion because we don't think it's proper. I just want to say that that is a religious ideology that God never put in place, because in the scripture, the very first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. That means that every sentiment, every feeling, every emotion, every fiber of my being, when I begin to feel these things, it should be an expression of love towards God. And so when we say amen, hallelujah, or we clap our hands, or we shout, or we fall on our face before God, it's because of, it's an expression of love to God. We are using the emotions, the sentiments, the feelings that he has given us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul. The word soul here refers to our breath. Remember, the Bible says God breathed into man and he became a living soul. Everything else he spoke into existence. He said, stars be, and boom, there they were. He said, light separate from darkness, and it happened. He said, let the animals come forth, and they did. Let the fish come forth, and they did. Everything that exists was spoken into existence by the word of God, with the exception of man. Man was formed from the dust of the ground, and God breathed his own breath into man. And it said he became a living, what was the word? Soul. He became a living soul. And so when God says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, he says, love me with the very breath that I put inside of you. Amen. Love me with that spirit. Allow my spirit to come forth from within you and worship. Amen. Even as Jesus, the God incarnate, bowed down and worshiped the Father and was submitted to his will, even to the cross. We are to worship him with our spirit, with every breath that is within us, with our conviction, with our belief. A worship of God, a love of God, is to say, God, I believe in you, and I trust you, and I follow you, and every breath that is in my body belongs to you. Love the Lord your God with all of your mind. With all of your mind. This speaks to our thoughts, our reason, our understanding. There are some people that believe that we shouldn't try to figure God out. There are people that say that science and the Bible or Christianity are at odds with each other. I beg to differ. God wants us to love him with our reason, with our understanding. He wants us to pursue him with a passion and say, God, I want to understand this. I want to figure it out, because I just want to know more about who you are. And I want to look at that beautiful, those stars and those constellations. I just want to understand how you did that and how you put them there. And I want to understand what this love is all about that you keep talking to us about through all of creation. I want to be able to look at the smallest particles of the makeup of man and see in the smallest protein that there is the cross signifying your love for us. Do you understand that God wants us to love him with our mind, with our rational thinking, with our understanding. And lastly, it says, with all of your strength. With all of your strength. This word translates as possessions, as authority, or as your life. When somebody asks you, what are you able to do? What are you able to do? It depends on what they're referring to as to whether it's talking about physical strength. Well, I'm able to lift 500 pounds. Yeah, bring it on. Yeah, right. You know, us guys, we like to try to, until we get older and then we get smarter, right? But the young guys, you know, they, oh, I can scale that wall. I can, you know, I can do this, I can do that. We have this competitive attitude. What are we able to do? But then there's times whenever there might be an investment opportunity that comes along, and you may be trying to broker a deal, whether you're purchasing a home or you're trying to purchase a car, and they say, well, what are you able to do? What are they referring to? They're referring to your financial ability, right? Your possessions. And God says, love me with all of your strength. I want to say something here for just a second, and don't freak out, because I'm going to explain. I don't believe in the tithe. You freaked out, didn't you? Yeah. Because according to the word of God, everything that we have belongs to him. Everything that we have belongs to him. And so it shouldn't just be, oh, well, God, I gave you my 10%. That's a great place to start, right? But it shouldn't just be, oh, well, I put my 10% in. Sometimes some people don't even do that. And that's between you and God. I'm not here to try to create issues. But if we're going to go to the scripture and we're going to understand, when he said, love the Lord your God with all of your strength, he's saying very clearly, every possession that I have belongs to God. That's why Jesus said very clearly, he said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves cannot break in and steal. Because that is, then he says this, he says, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so God wants to make sure that our heart belongs to him. And so our treasure must belong to him. This is not an easy thing. Y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? I've gone off my notes. I'm running out of time. I know. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And God said, well, you know the commandments, honor your father and mother, don't steal, don't kill, you know, remember the Sabbath. And he said, all these things I've done since I was a kid. He said, well, okay, well, you just lack one thing. Go sell everything you have and go give it to the poor and come follow me. And you'll have treasure in heaven. He walked away. Because his treasure, he was not obeying the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. His treasure didn't belong to God. He was so caught up in status that he wasn't willing. And it's not about us having to give everything, but it's about a willing heart where we say, God, I lay it down before you. I give it all to you. The reason that this message is titled All In is because God's desire is that we pursue him with the same passion with which he pursued us. Amen. His desire is that there is nothing of who we are that is not wholly committed, devoted, and belonging to him. He wants our love. He wants our affection. He wants our adoration. He wants our devotion. And he wants our unwavering commitment to him. John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. We love him because he pursued us. I want us to look at one last scripture in closing. It's the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you can't tolerate wicked people, and that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You've preserved and persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Sounds pretty good so far, right? Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love that you had at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. God will have all of us, or he will have none of us. We cannot just offer a portion of ourselves to God. Either we belong to God or we don't. Either we are his or we are not. There is no halfway with God. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. Today I wanted us to read these scriptures and to be reminded of the pursuit of God towards us, because I want us to remember how much he loves us. Because I want us to remember why we love him. I want us to rekindle the flame. I want us to understand once again that there is a reason why we call ourselves followers of Christ. There is a reason why we come to church on Sundays and sit together and we're part of a community of believers. There is a reason why we profess the faith. And that is because there was a story of a God who pursues you and I. He pursues us. And he is looking for those of us who will pursue him, who will love him, who will serve him. This morning, if you find yourself as someone who has never truly committed your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength to God. If you have never been at that moment where you say, God, I'm all yours. I give myself wholeheartedly to you. I ask that you come into my life. We're gonna pray here in just a moment. And I want you to know that this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to come and be a part of the greatest love story that has existed in the world, to be a part of the greatest love that anyone can find, a love that brings true satisfaction and fulfillment, a love that completes you like no other, the love of God, the love of Jesus. We're gonna pray here in a moment, but there is another group of us that I want to speak to. And that is those of us who have fallen into a routine. Those of us who have found ourselves weighted down by the worries and cares of life and find ourselves perhaps in a rut, find ourselves just going through the motions just because that's what we've always done or because that's what we were told that we should do. Or because we're afraid that if we don't, somehow there's gonna be this judgment that comes upon us. I want us to rekindle the passion. I want us to reconnect. Can you do that with me this morning? Right where you are, I just want you, everybody, to stand to your feet, please. We're gonna do two things. First of all, I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. And I want those who are here that would like to commit themselves, commit their lives to Christ, to pray that prayer with me. And the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to open up these altars. These altars, an altar is a place where you come and you lay it all down. You lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. And you accept his embrace. You accept his care. He says, come to me all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest unto your soul. If you're looking for that rest, if you're looking to fall in love with Jesus again, come to these altars. And there are always those that will be here if you feel that you need prayer and you'd like someone to pray with you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. I just want everybody just to stop what you're doing and just close your eyes and lift your hands toward heaven. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender all to you. I am all in. I give myself completely to you. I ask that you would come, that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would wash me with your blood and set me free to be your child, to live for you and to serve you with all that I am. I accept your love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, for everyone that is in this room, the altars are open. Glenn has come and he's prepared a song. We're going to listen to this song. As he's playing, as he's singing, come. Come to the altar and receive from the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. The altars are open.